Riff Raff.
Tour of Home.
Riff Raff.
Big Riff.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to your third favorite toilet podcast, The Riff Raff, with me, Hans, and Ainsley, and for the first time today, reviewer extraordinaire and giver of Bandcamp gifts, the Iron Goddess of Mercy.
Oh, yeah. Hey y'all. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
What was that ominous sound right now?
Oh, that was a motorcycle going by my house.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought that was part of my intro that y'all cooked up for me.
Yeah, I'm sure they did it on purpose, like right before you started too.
Well, that's
like,
real Southern hospitality. I threw up some horns. Appreciate that.
So, Mr. Mercy, where does your chosen pen name come from?
Oh, where does Iron Goddess Mercy come from? Like me, it's from the South. Iron Goddess of Mercy, it's not even a fun story. It's just a type of tea. It's a green tea. I used to drink it all the time. I stopped drinking caffeine entirely. I just like can't handle it. I'm like too jittery as is. But it was my favorite type of tea for a long time. It's really lovely. And it's got this killer name, Iron Goddess of Mercy. And that's where it comes from. And that's my boring story and my real voice.
Well, as they say, damn son.
But I really recommend it. If you can find some loose leaf tea, find some loose leaf Iron Goddess of Mercy. Really try it. It's got a great, almost rusty color to it. It's a little bitter, a little earthy, but it's really, really nice.
So. Doesn't all tea look rusty? Yeah, okay, I suppose green tea doesn't, but like most tea, like black tea, looks kind of rusty, right?
That looks like the kind of rust you shouldn't touch or whatever. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you got
I guess
there's
like herbal teas that are like, really.
I drink so much herbal tea. It's like 5 or 6, 7, 8 cups a day.
Wow. That's like how much coffee I drink in university, so.
I think about how much coffee I used to drink and like I get heart palpitations just thinking about it now.
So interesting fact, we're just like brewing controversy and rivalries, I guess. Here, aside from feuding with the main podcast, turns out that Igom and I went to feuding universities, sort of.
Oh yeah,
rival universities is the right.
We're putting podcast beef on ice for this one and focusing on toiletier rivalries.
On all the rivalries I've cultivated with like other like contributors and users of Toilet of Hell.
Hell yeah, we're gonna get into that. And now, you just reminded me that I did actually had a whole intro cooked up, but I forgot all about it because the intro track that we heard was conceded by Manhunt, included for no particular reason other than a little tribute to. The OGs, Pat and Kid, who would occasionally start the episode with a grindcore track. And really, the riffraff is all about keeping it old school because the Toilet of Hell radio show, who we're not going to mention in this episode, used to be more like riffraff, where they would listen to a bunch of stupid music instead of focusing on all the other stupid stuff surrounding the stupid genre that we all love.
Yeah, turns out music doesn't sell, but drama does, or whatever, because they just read the news now, so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like the TOH history lesson. I think that's important. I think a lot of the folks who came in the last couple of years like I did are going to appreciate that bit of knowledge.
Yeah. We have to get one of the old hosts on now. Fuck. We just keep piling on more work for ourselves. Anyway.
I'm glad that the conceited track was a callback to the old riffraff and not just about me, and it was a shot at me just right off the bat. You know, just immediately, just like it Hans can, is like, oh, Iron Goddess Mercy conceited.
It can be both.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it can mean more than one thing.
No, included really for no other reason than to have a kind of a segue, which I then totally forgot about that I wanted to do. But it's already a bit older, but I recently discovered that they had this quote unquote new EP that I hadn't that I didn't know about yet. Yeah, it's out on Televised Suicide, which is a good label for grindcore, alongside labels like 7 Degrees Records from Germany, Self-Made God from Poland, Blast as Fuck from Australia. All wonderful for your grindcore needs. And thusly, we approach today's subject, which is labels. Each of us picked one label and two tracks from bands from said label. That could have been said simpler, but you know, we're not for the small-minded here.
No, and your use of thusly was so wonderful and poetic, and I was really just hung up on that. I was just thinking about it. I was like, oh, I really like the way Hans used thusly.
I think the main conclusion from Riff Raff is that Hans should have gone into radio, but yeah, so we randomized kind of the order of the labels that we're going in, and so we decided that we should start with the longest tracks.
We should we should start with the guest. That's how you sell it.
Oh, fuck. Anyway, with our special guest, very important tracks, Iron Goddess of Mercy picked Tridroid, which actually, fun fact before we start, has a Toilet of Hell Reader's music on there as well. Awenden? I don't know actually how you say the band name.
Awenden.
Maybe he can get on later
I think
and correct
it is.
Us.
A Weem Away.
Yeah. I was just gonna. How am I gonna segue into fucking Sleeping Lions?
Yeah, I thought about actually picking that Awenden Femin Nazgul split, but since I reviewed it, I thought that'd be a little like putting a hat on a hat, a little double dipping,
A little merciless of you.
Yeah, and it's great. Everyone should go buy the LP versions, and I think Awenden's making shirts that'll hopefully be available for sale soon. So that split's great. But I wanted to go with things that I hadn't had a chance to write about for Toilet of Hell.
And so, offhandedly, the bottom bar for puns has been set for the episode. So we got that out of the way as well.
Thank you.
And I think we should probably get into the first track. Since we have been, oh no, we haven't even been talking for as long as the track is. But we'll just play all of it. So this is Trial and Error by Keeper from their split with Body Void.
Yeah!
holy shit, what happened? Where were we? I forgot everything that ever happened. That was Keeper. So should we? I don't. Yeah, let's maybe talk about the track first.
Yeah. So why did you pick this track, Icon?
So I've liked Keeper a lot for a lot of years. They released a record back around 2015 or 2016 called "The Space Between Your Teeth." That I think is a really beautiful sort of doomy sludge record. And actually, I think it was Lord of Bork wrote a review of this split last year, and I was sort of jealous because I had wanted to write about it. Keeper was one of those bands that I was like, if I, when their records were coming out in the mid-tens, I was like, if only I wrote for a metal blog, I could write about how much I like this band. And then lo and behold, they released this great split with Toy to Hell favorites Body Void. And so I just wanted to, pay a little homage to a band that I really like. What's also cool is that, Willow from Body Void and Jacob Lee from Keeper have actually united with their own band, Hellish Form, which had a great record come out last year on Translation Lost, which was another cool label we could have done. But I thought this was really, this is Keeper at its best. Long songs, powerful, punishing moments, just incredibly heavy, crushingly slow, all of the sort of standard descriptors of this kind of sludgy doom, and I just think they do it in such an apocalyptic, searing way that I find to be just really, really, really addictive.
Ooh, that must be hard getting addicted to 10-minute-long songs, but I can understand it.
Yeah, I like slow and low. I've always liked slow and low, I like it slow, I like it low, for sure.
Cool. Yeah, so for me, I guess not intentionally, but accidentally, sort of, to prepare for this track, I went to a show last night that was essentially 3.5 hours of sludge at a brewery down the street from my place, and my first note was, when I listened to it this morning, I was like, wow, it could still keep my attention after that, which is cool. That's a good sign, because Doom tends to, lose me when it gets too, dung, like, Sun-esque, I guess. But I was interested. I thought it was interesting. Big fan of Body Void, who's another Doom-ish band that has converted me a little bit. And yeah, it was, even after all of that doom, this still felt somewhat suffocating, I guess, which is kind of the atmosphere I'm going for with that kind of music. So, kudos.
Okay, first of all, Sun is drone, not doom.
whatever.
Okay. So,
actually.
Yeah, I think this caught me at a bad time, because I was recently going through the discography from Eremit, I don't know how you would anyway. The doom sludge kind of band from Germany on Transcending Obscurity, who I believe you reviewed.
I really liked their I didn't love their latest album, Bearer of Many Names, but Carrier of Weight from 2019 I thought was, really sick. And then Desert of Ghouls, I think, is what I reviewed, this little, short, quote-unquote, EP they released between the LPs.
Yeah. I listened to them recently, but I just got back out of that phase of wanting, long songs that are slow and heavy. So this came at the worst possible time, probably. In short, my only road needs, my only note reads, no patience for this. Just
it's funny because
now is I that about me or the track, Hans? I can't tell.
It's funny. My last note that I forgot to read was Hans is going to say this is too long. So there we go.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't even think about the track lengths. I was just like, I really want to talk about Tridroid. It's such a cool label. Obviously, it's anti-fascist. It's pro queer. It's pro fuck the gender binary and all that stuff. It's killer. And I think that they make really cool tapes as well. And that's another thing I want to talk about is that I gave it to a friend now. But the tape for this, the Shell's got this great gray shell with the red lettering, a great layout for the lyrics and stuff like that, which is great because often with tapes you don't get lyrics. So I really, one of the reasons I want to pick Tridroid in these tapes that I've got from them is that I actually really appreciate the physical product that that label's putting out, even if it's long, boring songs that Hans doesn't like.
I mean, I was going to talk about that next, why you actually picked the label, so...
Yeah, I anticipated you, Hans. We're already working on that level.
Wow.
I'm going to get pushed out from this show. Bye, guys, forever. No. Cool, yeah. I like finding, like, going through old record stores and finding, like, old tapes that, like, from, like, the 80s and stuff that have, or even early 90s that have, like... a lot of like effort put into them because CDs weren't out yet, right? And so it's cool to see like a label doing that.
Yeah, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, I've got a bunch, actually, I'm sitting next to a bunch of cassettes that I've ordered over the last month or so that, like, you know, some of them have the, you know, they've got J cards instead of like the full cards, where they're just sort of one-sided, they don't have any lyrics, and that stuff's really expensive to print, so I get it. But that's why, again, why I appreciate Tridroid is there's so much, there's a lot of effort put into the product, and they're doing it for such cool bands, I think, too. That was definitely the impetus for selecting these tracks.
You heard it here. Tridroid, sponsor us. No.
Plus, they send you really cool stickers when you order, like, stuff from them, too. So, like, shout-out labels that send you free stickers.
Always.
Yeah.
So maybe we can preface this next song by already talking about it. This one is also from you, so from Tridroid Records. It's Under Dark, I don't want to say make waves. I don't know if anybody but us read this review about the record, which is...
The band retweeted it, so...
Ah, okay. Anyway, they're a black metal band, and obviously some dork complained that they don't sound black metal enough. That was basically the gist of it, which is definitely a cool and necessary thing to do some 10 years after Sunbather. I definitely need to read those takes again. Given that whole background, I was actually surprised. I had listened to the record a while ago, but didn't remember much of it, so when I put on this track, I was surprised that it actually did sound very, very black metal and very, let's say, true. And then about halfway through, it makes this change into like softer tones with clean-ish kind of vocals. So then I was like, this is what he was whining about, probably.
From what I remember, he was mostly mad that it wasn't Dark Throne.
Like or Dark Throne song.
Oh, yes.
But actually, I did like the first half a lot. Like, both of the different vocal styles were cool, and it was cool black metal. And then the second half is kind of the change to the softer like instrumentation was pretty nice. But those vocals that came in then, I wasn't so convinced.
Yeah, I mean, it's what's interesting. I didn't read the review because I tend not to. Things get posted like that. I tend not just even look at it because I don't know what I'd do with it. But because we were talking about the track, I went back and read it. And aside from it being a pretty obnoxiously written review, I actually don't think people actually liked this album that much. You know.
I listened to it because I read the review and I'm like, I gotta hear what this sounds like now. But
yeah, and it's like. Yeah, it's anti-fascist black metal, and it's got a lot of melody to it. I actually my favorite moment in the song is actually when everything sort of drops away, and it turns into sort of this sort of quasi sort of screamo track, and I really love the lyrics at that moment. But I do think it's one of those bands where people, that's sort of the classic line where it's just like, I love their politics, but I don't love their music. But I actually really do like this, and maybe because it has all sorts of sort of non-black metal parts that mix in with the sort of really what seems to me pretty traditional blast beaty sort of black metal, and I like the lyrics of this album a lot as well. And maybe liking uncult black metal is the cultest thing of all.
Oh my god!
You know, not to be the smartest human being in the entire world, but you know,
sometimes
maybe it's
not being the smartest human being is being the smartest human being in the entire world.
Yeah,
actually, It's funny because I put in my notes, like, I wonder if he picked this because the last half sounds like a screamo song with creaky vocals.
It's,
thank you for verifying that.
Yeah, no, it's totally it. I mean, like, and also the lyrics, like, if we never fell mm-hmm. like this, how do we know what falling is? I mean, come on, like, you can, like, hear that coming out of the radio, uh-huh. you know, not in those vocal yeah. stylings, but, like, you can hear those lyrics on the radio, and I just sort of love that.
Yeah, that was definitely in a used album or something, I swear.
Yeah, that could just be a title of the Bled, of an album from the Bled, right? Insert various 2004 reference here. But it is black metal. I mean, you know, the album's black metal. They're long black metal songs, and they've got some of these sort of screamo-y moments that I really enjoy. So, plus again, we've got another beautiful object, great blue cassette shell. I really like the artwork. And you know, look, we're trying to listen to black metal that isn't, you know, fucking fascist, full of Nazis.
Yeah, and I don't know if you noticed at the end of that review, but all of the bands he's like, if only they were like these, were like Burzum, Destroyer 666, like all of the worst offenders of that, so.
Yeah, it was like the classic lineup where it's like the sort of bulletproof, like, well, these are the progenitors of the genre, but also like these are some of the biggest offenders of the genre as well. Yeah. Not all of them, of course, but there were plenty nestled in there.
So now that we've given you an idea, or maybe we haven't given you an idea of what this song's like, yeah, let's play it. This is Underdark, Our Bodies Burn Bright on Reentry, from the album Our Bodies Burn Bright on Reentry. Okay. We'll be right back.
Okay.
So much for Underdark, and so much for our guest picks. We will now. He will now be silent for the rest of the episode because he didn't agree with me. No. we are coming in. We're with the. Up next is Andy's picks.
From the cultist of the cult labels here, actually, by being the least cult, Willowtip. I don't know why I picked this label other than, like, we were just, like, throwing out ideas for, like, oh, what labels could we do? And I think I or somebody else said Willowtip, and I'm like, all right, whatever, I'll take it.
I said it. It was me. I said it. You took my idea.
Oh, my God. He's, like, infesting this podcast. Yeah, part of why I liked it, I don't usually listen to a lot of technical death metal, and that's kind of what Willowtip is known for, but I've, like, liked bands off of that label for a long time, because they have a lot more than TDM, but it's not as high profile, but I did look through their back catalog, and they had, like, a reissue of Discordance Axis,
the Alien cover. Dreamers.
Yeah, that's one, thank you. But instead of deciding to show the diversity of Willowtip, I just picked two technical death metal tracks.
Very good.
So the first one is like an album that probably you have at least heard, but I really liked, and I wore the shirt at this band to the show I went to last night, and someone like fist bumped me because of it twice, which was kind of cool but unexpected. This is Slugjig. Slave Goo World. We'll be right back.
Okay, that was Toilet Darlings Sluggage. Sluggage. Who's,
I don't think there's a right way to say it.
Yeah, these guys have been bandied around the blog quite a bit. I never quite got into them, but I'm not sure why. Because again, like listening to this track, like this is super solid shit. Like the opening riff was really cool. Immediately had my attention, and the cleans and the chorus were quite surprising, but not off-putting. Pretty well done, tasteful, so to say, and yeah, it's just really, really well done metal, actually. So I'm not sure why I'm not fully on board with them. Maybe I need to give them some more, devote some more time to them. But then again, they didn't put anything out this year or last year. So who's got time for anything older than a year? It's always.
You're gonna hate my next track then.
Yeah, I saw.
I'm glad Hans, you like you're gonna take the heat, you know, away from me, because like you more or less we're back in sync, because this is precisely how I've always felt about this band, which was like, why don't I like this band more than I do? And I think at first it was because like I resented that they weren't a sludge band, and I don't know why. Like I don't know why I needed a sludge band called Sludge. That's stupid. But you know, the more I listen to this track multiple times, and I know they're darlings of Toilet of Hell and very well regarded, and I liked the song a lot. And I'm sitting there wondering, like, why is it taking me so long to get into Esoteric Malacology, the album? Like, what's holding me back? And I was like, is it the cleans? And I was like, no, those don't bother me. So I don't know what it is. But I'm right there with you. There's been some block. But I really enjoyed. I mean, I loved listening to Slave Goo World a couple times in preparation for this podcast. So I don't know what it is, but we seem to be feeling something similarly here.
What is wrong with us, Heidi? Tell us.
It sounds like you're angry that they didn't go for a pun with the name. Like, that turned you off to every one of their albums. Yeah, I don't know. Part of what I like about this band is that it's kind of like got some comic novelty to it, but it's like also kind of serious, because every album is about slugs or mollusks, which I didn't know slugs were mollusks, I can't say it until I heard about this band. I did learn one fun fact about slugs because of this band, because of my shirt last night. My girlfriend told me about these African land slugs that are like snails, I guess. They're not slugs. They're like as big as a puppy, supposedly. And they just like slime around, I guess, kind of like Gary in SpongeBob.
Jesus.
And so I'm just like, this has taught me more about biology than I've ever learned in classes, so maybe that's why you guys don't like it. It's all science. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably the only mollusk that is a university mascot. UC Santa Cruz are the banana slugs.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sweet.
Man, this is just like its own rabbit hole that you could go down forever, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny that you guys didn't like it, because I'm not normally a fan of like technical death metal usually, but we're just like complete opposites, like a negative, like I'm like a negative of you two or something.
That's I mean, yeah, we did like it, and we're wondering
when it came out, what was my problem? Was there too many notes being played? Was it their songs too short? Was it too interesting? You know, I don't know.
Did the guitars go too fast, then too slow? Like, will we ever know? Get Black Metal Porkins.
Was there too much hype? Was it not cold enough?
Oh,
maybe. Ooh,
well, I already ruined that for you by telling you I picked the least cult of all of these. So,
there are too many people on this tiny little blog that liked it. All 10 people who read Toilet of Hell liked it. I was like, that's too many for me.
I like how you two are not included in the 10 who read it. So you're like two who write for it, but they don't read it.
Well, I can't do everything. I can't be behind the scenes and in front of the scenes.
Well, I'm glad I could like reintroduce at least the song to you guys.
No, I'm going to go back. I'm actually going to hit their discography this week and like really like dig in because of this. Sweet. And like probably be a convert, probably buy a shirt and stuff like that too. Like I can tell. Like I'm just like, you know, sometimes bands just take a little bit to click, even if it seems obvious beforehand.
Oh sure, I felt that way all the time.
Yeah, you're going to feel that way about Keeper. You know, tomorrow you're oh, he was right about that. That song.
That song's a banger.
Yeah, dude. I get, she gets me hype.
Now I'm thinking of some pun to make about Convert or what this band would maybe call their fans, but I can't think of anything.
Shells? I don't know.
Yeah, but they're not snails.
Yeah, that's true. I'm thinking like his own Dutch slug is Nakslak, which is like naked snail.
Yeah, in German as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. That's cool. So we've talked enough about slugs. We've slugged your IQ down enough. Maybe that's the worst pun in the episode. Next up, so this band, this is a little story behind the song. First off, I picked it because it's really old and that pisses off Hans. It's from 2004. I actually remember when this album came out. I ordered it from the actual Willowtip catalog that I got in the mail at my house. At the time, I lived in Florida, and there's a band from Florida, and one of the members is like he owns like a studio that's kind of like well known. And yeah, see if you can guess who the vocalist is. This is, I don't know how to say their name either. Capharnaum. Fractured. We'll be right back.
that was a band of a mysterious name with the track Fractured. And what irks me about this is not that it's so old, it's that it's so old and I really dig it. So now I feel like I have to go back to listen to a record from like 18 years ago. Can you imagine my malaise?
The moral here is that 14-year-old Eanzy had epic taste in music.
Yeah, I love that you picked this track from this far back, particularly on Willowtip, because it made me go back and look through like Willowtip's discogs. And back when this came out, there were so many bands that I was listening to that I don't think I realized were, like, what I think about Willowtip now is different than I thought about them, because I don't think I thought about them, though, like, I made a list of bands from this time period that they're releasing that I definitely had albums from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Creation's Crucifixion, Circle of Dead Children, Commit mm-hmm. Suicide, Lang Shi, mm-hmm. Iron Dissonance, Goat's Blood, have you heard? I mean, you guys wouldn't like Droll by Goat's Blood if you didn't like Keeper, but if you don't like insanely long, slow doom songs. Crow Path, Vulgar Pigeon, so all this, like, killer, like death metal and lots of grindcore and stuff like that. So it was really fun to go back and like look through, like, oh shit, that record was on there, that record's on there, that. So I was really happy you played this. I had never listened to this album, but there were, it really it was fun playing, oh, that's on this label.
Yeah, I kind of just like found out about this band very randomly too. Like, I don't think I would have known about them if I didn't live in Florida and like just see like a flyer for them up somewhere, because this is their last album. They haven't recorded another one. Probably because if you can't tell, the vocalist went on to bigger and much more money producing things in Trivium.
I was going to say that must be it, because I mean, it says on the page featuring members of Martyr, Monstrosity, and Trivium, and I can't. So it's not initially none the wiser as to what you meant with your vocalist comment,
okay,
but then I figured, yeah, it must be that.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of famous dudes, not just Matt Heafy, right? It's like,
yeah,
Daniel Mongrain and mm-hmm. Mike Poggioni. I don't know if I might butcher that name.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Italian name. It doesn't matter.
That's a very German worldview that is not respected. but yeah, right. It's like it's really become sort of like a super group of sorts, retroactive.
Yeah, retroactively. Yeah, and actually, the guy who owns the studio, Jason Sukoff, I think is how you say his name, is also, he plays guitar in this band too. So he's kind of well known, I guess, if you want to go record in Florida or something.
More like Sukoff. Pew, 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 pew,
pew. Oh yeah, that's it. I'm just trying to get some time in his studio. You caught me. Jason Sukoff, sponsor Riff Raff. I'm just shilling for this podcast now. Cool. Well, I'm glad you guys liked it. Like, this is really where I became like aware of like labels and like which labels I liked, rather than just like liking individual bands, you know. Because I ordered some CD from them and I started getting their like catalog in the mail. So
I got a record label catalog like a couple weeks ago, like a full catalog. It was so cool. It's from Run for Cover. And they actually gave me their like 2021 catalog, and it was like, that is like, I don't know, I loved it. It had their shirts, their album, all the different, you know, all the, oh. It was, I was like, man, bring those back.
Yeah, that's one thing I really miss, but alas.
I also like associate Willowtip always with stuff that goes really hard or is really outside the box or both. So like last year you had that Cognos record, which isn't maybe the hardest shit, but it was interesting progressive thrash, and it was on my top 10 list. But then you also, more recently, you have this 7/9s and 10s record, which is kind of weird shoegazy stuff. I think Spear highlighted it the week it came out.
It's like weird. That's like weird. It's like weird post grungy sort of shoegazy mixed in there somewhere. 7/9s and 10s.
Yeah. Oh, also, I'm just seeing this Countless Skies. I think BMP was really... Was it him? I don't know.
Yeah, BMP. Black Metal Porkins and I talked about Glow by Countless Skies. I can't tell you how many times. countless times for Countless Skies. And I don't even like that kind of melodic death metal very much, but that record landed with me so hard. And not with... other, and it was funny, because actually all the other folks who like Mellow Death didn't like it that much either, so I don't know what that is. But yeah, Willowtip's such a great label. Their last couple years have been really almost just like they just hit on everything.
Yeah, it's great. And I like that they're maybe wanting to take a chance on some weirder bands, because the weird stuff is where you find really good stuff, in my experience. So, and also a lot of really bad stuff, but not if it's on Willow Tip. cool. Yeah. And I guess that's it for my songs. So, I'm glad you guys enjoyed them. Score 2 for Inzi. Hans, two? Next. Yeah. I got you guys into Slug.
Yeah, okay. I suppose. Oh. I thought you meant 2 overall. I was like, when have I ever liked anything else you suggested? I don't recall.
God. Okay.
Yeah, so I suppose we're moving on then to my pick, which is cool,
the cultist label.
Obscure, and from Germany. So it's a special kind of label, because it's really most of the projects on the label involve the same circle of people, kind of. So it kind of all revolves around 2 or 3 people who are in almost every project in at least some capacity. So it's really more of a like an artist collective or something. And I think I just really like that that idea of making music in that way. I think you have this with one man projects a lot. Like, obviously the most prominent example is what's his face, Maurice Thingamajig from Northern Tongues.
Maurice DeYoung?
And his like 15 other projects.
So Zeitgeister Records, they're the ones who produce the Zeitgeist YouTube documentaries, right? About 9/11, right? Same label, same people.
Probably, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure, why not? I mean, they haven't put out much music recently. They must have been doing something. So
yeah, Loose Change, Zeitgeist 1, Zeitgeist 2.
So you're saying they've been finding out the truth about 9/11?
Yeah, they've been asking their own questions.
Oh, I see. Doing their own research, as you will, if you will.
Yeah. I don't know. I really like this idea of, and I think there maybe should be more of that, because I don't know what I'm trying to say, actually.
Hans is just saying DIY, be one of the Zeitgeister.
He's just saying.
Yeah.
He's just saying. Jet fuel can't melt steel beams. That's what he's saying. Look at the angles.
Oh my god. Let's just get into this track before we go even further off the rails for the day.
So this first track, it's weird. It's a power metal-ish record, and it's like all about some sci-fi subject matter. I don't know if it's a concept record, but it's peculiar. It's just a guy's vision that he really, I guess, wanted to put out. And as far as I know, this is the only record from the project. So he just went and did it. And I thought it was kind of endearing, I thought, even if it's kind of goofy at times.
Well, let's listen to it.
Yeah, please. Please stop me from talking. So this is Maelstrom by Vasari.
Just started to sleep.
So that was some goofy but charming power metal. What did you guys think?
I thought it was goofier. Maybe not goofier than most of the power metal I've ever heard, but as goofy, but also extremely charming. Maybe that's just because it's like a short story, if you read the lyrics, like, a little bit. Like, there are characters with names and shit, which you don't usually see in songs, ever. And it's about space, which is, like, one of my shameful obsessions. And it uses the word Earthians, which is charming in itself, I believe. I like the keys. I thought it gave it kind of, like, a very, like, almost, like, space rock feel a little bit at the front. at the beginning.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was into it, and I'm not usually into power metal, so.
Yeah, I guess I'm only, like, the influences listed in the album description are manifold. I think I'm only calling it power metal because of the vocals, I think.
And
Virgin Steel was one of the bands listed, but yeah.
Well, I'm Vasari. I had to listen to it.
We just keep knocking that bar down lower and lower for puns. I love it.
Yeah. No, I'm joking. It was fun to listen to. I saw that and I wanted to make that joke. I've also got this joke. I love that you brought up the characters, because I read the lyrics too. I really enjoyed that it was a story and that it has, like, a protagonist named Frank C. Borman. Though I was a little, I was like more like Frank Lee Borgman.
Oh God, I'm like cringing.
Man. No, there was nothing about this song that was for me, but I really enjoyed listening to it. I even liked it the second time, but, like, I actually particularly liked that it had a character. That all the songs are written on the seventh moon of the Darkmoon. You know, the sense. It was a very fun track to listen to.
Yeah.
My tracks were not very fun, and this was a very fun song.
The choice came down to either this one or the track Lucifer Rising, which begins with the line, "The Pope wants to send a mission to Mars."
Which, saw that one. I saw it. Oh my God.
All right. My second pick from Zeitgeister is, I keep wanting to say Abruptum, and that's not that. It's Absolutum.
Yeah.
The track is simply called Two from the album. From the album One, so it's all Roman numerals. They have two releases on the record, One and Two. This is more, I guess, a bit more straightforward. Like, it's billed as a tribute to like classic Scandinavian black metal, and I definitely hear that. But as is typical for this, for the projects on this label, kind of they put a certain spin on it. I thought, let's get into it. Absolutum with the
we
yeah, Absolutum. What stood out to me about this was the vocal performance. On this first EP, it's already a little odd. On the full length, it is it's even more out there, I would say. They put kind of a weird effect on it, but even without it, the singer is very unhinged. It actually is like almost on par with the perhaps craziest vocal performance I've heard so far, which was Rainer Landvermann from Bethlehem on that when he featured on that track by Anna Nathrak, Tod hütet übel. That's a very unsettling, unhinged vocal performance, and it's kind of in that same area for me. So that really stood out. And what did you guys think?
Well, I listened to this immediately after the Maelstrom song, and my first note was, "Holy shit! What the fuck did I just turn on?" But I really liked it. Like, I liked the weird vocals and how they're like a bit of a callback to, you know, like you said, Scandinavian black metal. And I don't know, I also just like weird stuff, if you haven't picked that up already. I was into it.
I liked that you used the word unhinged, Hans, because like my note was like the whole track itself felt like it was like they were like just barely holding on, you know. It like feels like the whole time you're at like almost at the breaking point, mm-hmm. where like the whole thing could just like shatter apart at any minute. It was very intense track. I thought it was very cool.
Now I just need to look up Gorgoroth real quick, because I keep forgetting what that one song from the one album from them is called. Under the Sign of Hell. That's kind of what this one reminded me of. What these guys remind me of.
I was surprised, like looking at like when you sent the tracks, how much synth there was in everything.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah,
yeah. I didn't know if you had done that on purpose or if you or anything, but I was surprised. But thinking about the two tracks together, that there was so much synth. Not that it was a bad thing, but it was an interesting connection.
Yeah,
obvious connection, not interesting.
For the Vasari, it was definitely a thing that struck me, because the other track I had considered, Lucifer Rising, has a sort of similar synth intro as this one, and I thought they were really, I don't know if whimsical is a good term. I thought that they were kind of neat. And for this one, it was it was just another thing that kind of stood out to me as doing something different than the formula that the music is based on called for, which is always neat.
Yeah, especially a formula like that one that's been reproduced quite a few times, mm-hmm. to the point of boredom, in my opinion. It's cool when somebody can put a new spin on that. I really like this. I'm going to check out this label more. Does this seem interesting?
And yeah, I would also recommend the band that initially landed me on their Bandcamp page was Island, specifically their album Oracle, which is kind of a slightly skronky death metal, like avant-garde death metal, which I think they do really well. But I didn't pick a track from that one, as they're all kind of long, and it's just short of really getting me. Like, it doesn't land 100% with me, but it's no doubt a good record. And they also have a weird grindcore-ish project, like hardcore punk. I'm not entirely sure.
Is it grindcore with synth? Is that why it's weird?
Yeah. No, that's not. that's a good formula for a label, though. We do everything you've already heard of, but we add synth.
Just add synth.
Yeah.
Just add synth. Just add synth records.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
And with that, we come to the end of another fine riffraff episode. I should go back to my NPR voice to ring us out.
I was waiting for the smooth jazz to turn on. we've succeeded in sowing even more feuds, which I'm very proud of.
Oh shit, that's actually right. I that's I wanted to get to that. What's up with the Iron Goddess Theophrastus feud? How did that come about?
Oh man, I thought we were gonna. I thought like it was gonna be like just such a shot if we like teased talking about Theo the whole time and then just didn't.
I mean,
that might be the most brutal thing we could do.
Yeah. I don't honestly, like, I'm sure, like, if we dug back far enough on, like, Discord, in Discord, it probably would, at some point when the joke starts. I have no idea why I started that, acting like that towards Theo. I guess it's just me flirting. I guess that's all it really is. It's just, like, me flirting with Theo.
I feel like you guys have, like, not a similar writing style, but, like, maybe a similar mentality around music.
Yeah, he definitely copied me.
There we go. give us the dirty details.
Yeah, I can see that he it's not, you know, is it a coincidence that he started writing after I did? I don't know. He likes books, apparently, too.
I have a question.
That's an odd thing that nobody else does.
None of us read.
Yeah.
Are you actually Theophrastus Bombastus? Like,
holy shit, have you ever seen them in the same room?
We do live in the same state for the next couple months. So.
I mean, I have seen them on the same Discord server, but what does that really prove?
It's like a computer and a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know why we started beefing, aside from just sort of general, flirtation. Hopefully a shared reverence. Hopefully he doesn't just revere me. Hopefully I revere him, too.
Oh, God. Did you listen to the episode we had with Theo?
Oh, yeah. I was, like, furious about how nice his voice sounded. Like, I don't like that he's, like, a good writer. He's got good taste. He's able to, like, make crafty things. He brews beer and kombucha. And he has a nice sounding voice. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, it's a little overkill.
Yeah, what an asshole.
I'm kind of like, starting to hurt him.
Yeah, no, I think we all should. It's not. It's his fault, you know? It's like we're all living in Harrison Bergeron by Kurt Vonnegut, and he's not.
He is Harrison Bergeron.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's maybe it's, so it's, so maybe yeah. it's just, maybe it is actually just sheer jealousy. Now, Theo's great. Everyone who contributes to TOV at TOH at this point is awesome. Yeah.
And on that masturbatory note, dear listeners, we release you into the night. Until next time. Adieu.
I realize now that I should have, like, the joke to make about Sludge and not liking them is to say something like, oh, but Tech Deck bands like that are a slime a dozen. That was the joke.
I feel slimy after hearing that. Jesus Christ.